How does it feel to finally finish your novel after 20 years? Hi, my name is Marco and welcome to another episode of the Storyline Sessions podcast. This week I'm joined by Brian Wilson. He's the author of the science fiction fantasy book Forsaken Planet, part 1 of the Power of the Stars series. It's been described as a blend of space opera and fantasy fiction with just a touch of ancient aliens mythology. The second book in the series cover has been revealed just a couple of days ago. We talked about his journey as an indie author so far, influences, the writing community, finding time to write between work and family, and many more interesting topics. So get comfortable and let's get into this week's Storyline Session with Brian Wilson. Enjoy! Hi Brian, welcome to Storyline Sessions, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being so open to having this talk. I was really looking forward to it. And since we're just fresh off you announcing your new book cover, maybe we can pick up from there. And well, maybe we'll circle back and rewind to the beginning of it all. So first of all, congratulations. I've seen you posted the second book in your now it's Power of the Stars series. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you've just recently came by the name, if I'm not mistaken, and it's fresh for the start of the new book.
Yeah, I it took me almost 20 years to write my first book, so I felt premature to me to put a series name to it until I had a second book, at least a manuscript actually written. So once I finished the first draft of the second manuscript, then I was like, okay, time to put a series name onto this thing.
And how are you happy with the result? Does the cover show what you wanted to emphasize? What are the first reactions?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very happy. I've shown a few people. I've gotten great feedback. So it went out in my newsletter today, and it's going to, I have a few booktubers and bookstagrammers, some people I've connected with that are all going to help share it and spread it around tomorrow on social media. And I've gotten nothing but great feedback. They all love it, and I'm very happy. My story is very much a 50-50 sci-fi fantasy split. It's kind of hard, I feel like, to get a cover to. I want to try and emphasize that as much as I can in my covers, and I do feel like my two get that across, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when this thing goes live, we'll have the cover for the world to see. So I'll put it up on the screen as well, so people can see it. And for me, I think that what you said about the genres, we'll delve into your background as well. But the art-wise side of things, you shared some, let's say, mock-ups or just let's say mood boards for your first book and the layout of things, and those were AI generated. Of course, you mentioned that you just use those to put out the feel of the book, not something that would end up in the book. But how do you think that, like, moving forward, art will come into your work? Because it's quite a descriptive thing. It's like a whole new world. I think that's very important, and we've seen a lot of people, especially doing deluxe editions, coming out with some amazing artwork. So how do you go about that, and what was the process behind your covers for the first book, this one, and what do you plan on doing for, let's say, near future about that?
So my first cover, I actually purchased that cover. It was a pre-made cover from the company I work with, and I had some slight alterations made to it, but I actually purchased that one almost 6 years ago. I almost went to publishing this book about 6 years ago. Glad I did it then. It would not have been ready.
Back
then AI wasn't, in my head, I didn't know much about AI. It's definitely obviously a much more of a talking point now. It's tough for me. I see both sides of it. As a writer, as someone who took 20 years to write my first book, it's crazy to me to think that there might be technology in a few years that people can just plug a couple talking points into a thing and a computer system's going to generate text that's going to be, I mean, it's happening now. I don't think the quality's that great of them yet, but it might be in the future. We don't know. So I definitely see the side of how that's frustrating. As you said, I used the marketing stuff I did make with AI. That was, you know, that was after me going months and months of trying to find stuff on Canva, on BookBrush, trying to find something that was genuine to my story. you know, I had real trouble doing that. I'm not a graphic designer by any means. When it comes to art, my handwriting's terrible. I mean, people probably laugh when they see my signature inside my books. So, you know, that's just way out of my element. And but I want it. It seems like such a disadvantage because there are a lot of, especially indie writers, who have this artwork on their stuff that it helps readers see the portrayal of their story. So, you know, for me, it was that thing that I didn't have the finances to make it. So I kind of try and toe the line of, I'm going to create this as something I could throw on my website, give readers a little something to see into my story, but I do, you know, kind of hold to the code of, I don't want anything AI generated inside of my actual book as a piece of, you know, my actual, what I'm putting out there. To me, I'm putting out a story. So, you know, I want the cover that's actually going to be in people's hands. You know, I'm happy to pay for that, to give another artist the chance to work on that. And then, you know, everything, my story is all genuinely human made, if you will.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, of course, a lot of people do tend to gravitate towards that, even though if it's not something exactly wanted, that human touch is something that comes out. And I think people, at least at the time being, do see the difference, even though it's super realistic and AI can produce a lot of stuff. I think that the feeling is still there. But circling back to the thing you said, 20 years in the making, your first book. And I have to ask, what was the feeling when you got it for the first time out of print, when it was finally done? How did you feel 20 years later?
Oh man, when I first got my first proof copy, it was a very surreal feeling just holding that thing in my hands. God, it was a lot of work. It was countless hours. This book traveled with me through my life from graduating college to starting my own business, meeting my wife, getting married, having kids, building my own house. It was a crazy road, and this book was there with me every step of the way. So it was just really, really emotional holding it in my hands for the first time. And it's something I'm so happy I got out there, because I think all of us writers have imposter syndrome. It's funny, I hadn't looked at it in 6 years, since before my kids were born, and it was just about a year ago now that I looked at it for the first time, and it was the longest stretch of me having not read it. And so when I was reading it after all that time, it almost felt like I was reading someone else's work, and because of that, it was like the first time I was sitting there thinking, this is good. Like, I'm biased, obviously. This seems good. I feel like people are going to like this story. I have to get this story out there to the world. And so that's why I went from that point. I spent 8 months working very hard with an editor, with beta readers. I did a very extensive edit to it. And again, I'm glad I got it out to the world, because now I'm overwhelmed with the positive feedback I've gotten. I mean, it hasn't all been positive, but no book ever is. Everything's subjective. And a lot of what I've gotten, though, has been very, very good praise that I'm super proud of.
And as you should be, I think it's a great accomplishment, regardless of, as you said, people are going to react in either way, but art is subjective, but your work, seeing it through throughout all of those years. And I can imagine, like, when stuff gets in the way, or even for people who didn't go through such changes, finishing school, marriage, children, just shifting through projects. I know a lot of people can't stay on a single story, let alone novel, but this is what the story, which was basically half of your life with you. And how much did it change in the final version, not concerning the draft edits for spelling, grammar, clarity, but overall, did you have basically the same vision throughout, or was there something that's just when you picked it up again, said, okay, this should be changed?
It held pretty much the same vision and theme throughout the entire, as it always has. The story might have matured a little more. I added scenes, you know, over the past 10 years of it. I definitely brought it a little more to a mature level, as obviously when I first started writing, I was in my late teens. I was pretty immature. So it kind of grew with me in that sense. But it stayed mostly the same. I did take, I think it was about like 18,000 words I actually took off from when I was reading it a year plus ago to the final product I threw out there. So it is a change, but overall the theme is the same.
And it's really a fun read, but when you think about you starting out so young and then moving on from there, I think that genre-wise, it's kind of a mix of a lot of things, as you said, sci-fi, fantasy, and a lot of influences were covered. But for me, when I read it, that YA side of things kind of is there, but it isn't like a typical YA. And it's interesting that I think I saw it, some other people compare it to, and I got that feeling is somewhat of a Ender's Game kind of feel. But a bit more towards adult audience, and I don't know if that was kind of a thing you wanted to emphasize. But how do you deal with YA? Do you consider it somewhat of a lesser fiction, or do you just feel write how you feel to write in the moment?
No, not at all. I don't consider it a lesser fiction. There's some phenomenal young adult books out there. Just going back to what you said, Ender's Game, a more mature Ender's Game is how I've tried marketing this many times in the past. And Ender's Game is definitely an influence on the story itself. That was the first, I read it when I was 16. It was the first sci-fi book that really grasped me. So that definitely played a huge part in this. So I think that's a perfect kind of comparison to put on it. And that's definitely from the readers what I've gotten as probably the most comparison in terms of books. Yeah, I don't think it's any. I don't really read much young adult anymore, but it definitely was a huge. I think young adult is so important for any young actual adults out there. I think it's that bridge into the world of literature that just without it, I don't think we'd have as many readers as we do today. So I have a lot of respect for the young adult world, and I think it's natural to. It's just storytelling kind of gives that natural, and this is what I wanted in my story, that natural growth from someone who's kind of not an adult, doesn't have very many responsibilities to thrust into this extraordinary situation. And they're naive in the beginning or inexperienced, but all of a sudden we got to watch them grow and build and learn from all that and mature with the world. And the fun part about these stories is it's a crazy world that's surrounding it, so one that allows us to escape kind of the mundane responsibilities we face in our real lives. So.
Yeah, for sure, and I think that's also something that checks out with some of the influences you listed when you just share your work. And if I recall correctly, there was Harry Potter in there, which was so interesting to me. It was kind of unexpected, but when you think about it, and when you think about some of the things that the protagonist goes through and some stuff like that, it's kind of, oh yeah, of course it's Harry Potter, but also mix of some other things as well. And for me, you recently shared on your Instagram story, the Invincible series, the animated series, of something about it. And I thought like, oh yeah, there's something of that in this as well, especially with those like, are they really human? The aliens who are also basically just us, but with superpowers. And for me, that was really awesome seeing that, like, how those two things can coexist and how they just like build up on top of that. And for me as well, what was interesting reading it is seeing how fantasy based it is. Actually, when you think about like space and the Forsaken Planet, it's something that you think would veer off in a more spaceships shooting kind of way. But it's kind of a when you think about the structure of your story, it was more fantasy based. And do you think there are books who that do that as well? I think that something that's kind of an interesting pocket in between genres, because you got your sci-fis, you got your fantasies, but this was kind of an interesting blend.
Yeah, it was definitely a purposeful fusion of it. To get back to, you talking about Harry Potter, that I, when I first thought of the idea, I was asking myself, what's popular nowadays? Again, this was 20 years ago. Harry Potter, that was prime Harry Potter time back then. And I just, for me, what was so intriguing about that story was it takes place in our world. Like, I felt like that helps pull people into the story because they're kind of sitting there thinking, what if this is happening? Who am I to say it's not happening? So it's that was a very important element for me to try and get into my own story. If I want people to read it and actually feel like they're reading about them and their group of friends, when they're younger, a little more immature, but they're reading and it's a believable take that just ordinary earthlings are being pulled off this world and this is happening to them. So yeah, and in terms of fusing fantasy and sci-fi, I'm personally more of a fantasy reader. So that was definitely intentional by me. I've always just loved space. I've been so intrigued by it. I definitely wanted my story to take part in it, but I wanted it to have that fantasy element because I just love fantasy. Fantasy is definitely my favorite genre, and I felt like I can portray a story much better with fantasy elements behind it. And I do think there's all the room to grow for this type of fusion, I think. And I don't think it's a coincidence that in SPFBL and SPSFC, I don't know if you know about them, the indie competitions, you're seeing a lot of the same books in both. When one is supposed to be fantasy, one is supposed to be science fiction, there's books that are making it to both. I was in SPSFC this year. I plan to enter into SPFBL next year. So I think that's kind of an arc that the fantasy and sci-fi world, I think we're going to see more books like this. I'm biased. I'm a little bit hoping that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a big thing in the future.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see you as a trendsetter a couple years from now.
That'd be nice.
And think about pulling people into your story. At the start, you have a prologue, which is something that's increasingly, I wouldn't say like frowned upon, but you hear a lot of people talking about prologues are a thing of the past, and people truly tend to dislike, and even like editors suggest you should throw your prologues out, but you stuck with yours. And I think that's interesting because especially it's an unexpected start, and then you pull back into our world, and not to spoil things, but I think that's an interesting part for me. Did you think about removing it, or you were set on it?
No, absolutely. I thought about removing it. I mean, I knew everything. You know, I read all the stuff about how prologues are frowned upon, especially on debut novels, especially from indie authors. I had very shortly, I tried querying this to, you know, agents, traditional publishing agents, and that's probably, I was always conflicted. Do I want to send them my prologue, or do, you know, a lot of them take the first certain part of the book, or do I want to send them just from the first chapter? But to me, to be genuine to my story, it was very important that I have a fantasy element at the very beginning. And I kind of give you what the later elements are going to entail at the very beginning, because a long stretch of the beginning is just kind of our mundane world with the sci-fi feel mixed in. I didn't want readers to get 25%, 30% into my story, and all of a sudden it starts adding these fantasy elements and be like, what the heck's going on here? This isn't what I signed up for. So it was very important I did that. And also, you know, this was inspired by things I loved back then. Like, I loved the sci-fi movies like Independence Day and stuff like that. So I kind of wanted that almost cinematic transition from that to our world, to Carlton, to the main character, to his everyday life. And I feel like I achieved it with what I had. So I just feel like at the end, when someone reads through my whole story, they feel like, you know, what the prologue is very genuine to the story. It's, it makes a lot of sense. And I, for one, I'm glad I kept it in.
I agree. As a reader, I think that it really has its place. So I think that was a good call. And no worries. I think about the things you said, like influences from Independence Day and the action you had to put in to make that feel. And but on the other hand, you still have that alien world and something that's still aside from, like, you have the opening, you have our world. But on the other hand, you have all those different teams overlapping. And was it a challenge with the exposition part? You know, you don't want to be exposition heavy. People are always also on that, like, show, don't tell, things such as that. But was it hard balancing out things you wanted people to know before they embark on the journey? And how did you feel about, like, parts of just introduction when we're still on Earth?
It was definitely, I mean, that might have been the most difficult thing about writing this was that finding that balance to please everyone. Very conflicting from early readers, for early beta readers and stuff, and the editors, very conflicting information about the beginning. And the beginning seems like the most hit or miss area of my story for most readers, because there is a couple sections in the earlier chapters that some might consider info dumping, I guess, if you will. I personally have never been that much against getting a lot of information thrown at you. I don't like to have to piece together information in the story. I want to enjoy the story for the story. I'm not trying to solve a puzzle. And so that's just my personal take, obviously subjective take. And so that's why there might be who some might consider a little more info heavy in the earlier parts of my novel, but it was because I had to find a balance. My original draft was 240,000 words long, and my final product was 175,000. The beginning was much longer in depth, and it went a little more, I guess it gave a little more emotion, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word, but I had a lot of my readers, the developmental editor I worked with, who said, I don't want to spoil it, so I don't want to say what they said to get to, but they were just like, get to the second stage of this story as fast as you can. This is where it really takes off. This is where people are going to really be pulled in. So just do that. So, you know, I tried to find a balance. Or is it going to please? I need to not throw, you know, I'm either going to throw too much at people too early who don't like that, in quote unquote, info dump, or I'm going to be dragging this out for people who just kind of like more fast paced, get to the action quick, that type of thing. So I tried to find a balance. I've definitely gotten mixed reviews on some of it. And I just recently had a booktuber who, Abel Montero, he had a lot of problems with the beginning of it. He almost DMF'd it. He sent me probably 30 Instagram messages just really just bashing the beginning. Like, I was, by the time I got to the end, I'm like, oh man, this story just isn't for him. Why is he reading this? But at the end, he absolutely loved the story. He had nothing but high praise for it. He basically demanded of me to send him the next one immediately. So, you know, it's, but on the flip side, I've had people who they're sucked right in the beginning and they have no issues with the beginning. So it's, you just got to try to do the best you can, find the balance. You know, that whole thing with Abel made me question, oh, should I've done this differently in my beginning? But on the flip side, if I did, then there might have been a lot of other people who were like, ah, it's just too long. It's taking too long to get there, and then I'll finish the book, you know? So it's all a balance. I mean, even my book is heavily a training novel, as I'm sure you read. And, you know, when you get to the, I don't personally like, I know a lot of authors would just be like, oh, they enter this combat training program. Chapter later, they're a professional at it. That's not me. I can't stand that. I want to learn, especially using characters from Earth who are supposed to be like us. I want the readers to actually believe that these people left our world, went to these other crazy worlds, and learned this extraordinary power and can actually stand up for themselves and do this extraordinary stuff by the end. So, you know, that's the balance I was trying to find.
And when we think about the process of writing it and the time it took you, and compare that to the second book in the series, it's a far more streamlined process. And how did that influence the way you wrote it? Is the pace similar? What could you tell us about the process between the difference between the processes for the second book and the first one?
Oh, they were very different. The second book, the pace, I would say, is much more faster. This was by design. I always intended it. And it's not that my first book, I don't think my first book has a slower pace. I think it's more a medium pace. It's definitely much more character-driven, my first book, which was, again, by design. And it's kind of designed for, it was that way for a reason, because I believe doing so, my second book is going to have a better, it will help my second book have a better impact with readers. It's, you know, you kind of have this build up to all this stuff, and now it's boom, it's here. So it's, I think anyone who is into my characters and invested in the story in the first one, I think they really like the second book. So far, beta reader feedback has been through the roof, just people loving it. And, that one, writing it just came much more naturally to me. When my first book took 20 years, as I said, I'm right now, I'm looking at about from 10 months from starting date to be publishing it, so which will be about 2 months before the year mark of when the Forsaken Planet was released. And I questioned, I hadn't written in years. It'd been six something years since I ever wrote a scene, so I questioned if I even still could, if it was even a thing. And no, it just, once I started it, it flowed very freely for me. Part of that is because a lot of these scenes have been my shower thoughts in my head for, God, I don't even know how many years. So it all just seemed to really, really come out. And I do think, I do think, whereas my last manuscript, the earlier drafts, were a little more, they needed that fine-tuning and cleaning because there were so many years gaps of working on it, this one is much smoother right from the start because I just worked on it straight through for basically like 3 months. It took about 3 months to do the first draft, and even the editing, even the getting it ready for formatting and for publishing, it's all going much more smoothly because I had just done all that. I just learned all that stuff not all that long ago. So yeah, I'm excited because I think this one will be a big hit with a lot of people.
I hope so. And what type of writer you are? Are you somebody who knows the bits of the story and the ending right away? Do you plan it out? Do you outline, or do you just go into it with a vague sense where the story is going?
No, I absolutely outline. When I wrote my second one, I think it was a 5 or 6 page outline. And then as I'm going, as I'm maybe changing alterations here and there, I'm jotting little notes down in my outline. I have to retype it and reprint it about 5 times through the process. But when it comes to a single story, I absolutely know beginning to end all the main stuff that's going to happen, all the main themes, and overall series, I'm planned out a couple books ahead. I don't necessarily have the full details of the whole thing done yet, but I make sure in terms of a single book that I do before starting.
That makes sense. And working with better readers, how does that feel for you? It's something of a necessity, basically, in self-publishing, but how did you feel that with that? And how do you go about it? I can imagine for the second book, it was far easier finding people who are willing to be that. But what was the process on that for you?
Yeah, for the first book, it was real tough because I wasn't, before I published, I'd never even had it. I wasn't big on social media, and I just this past April is when I started my author Instagram and Twitter accounts. So I had no following. I didn't really know anyone, no connections. So I kind of had to go I went through Fiverr and did a couple of paid beta readers. And don't get me wrong, I got phenomenal content. I think they helped big time. But it was definitely different the second time. I had some connections already formed with people. So I was able to get beta readers through that, through actual writers, people in the writing community. And then I also, there were two of my beta readers from the first time that were just, they did such phenomenal work. I wanted to make sure they were, and they loved the story the first time. So I wanted to make sure they were a part of this process for the second one. And I feel like I have a good mix of, some who are just, kind of more of a beginner. It's a little less intense what they give back to you, but it's the main, they'll just hit the main points real well. And I got others who really nitpick the story, and I like that. They're apologizing to me and stuff, and I'm like, no, I want you to nitpick it because I'm kind of try to be a perfectionist. So it's, if you're thinking it, someone else is going to think it, and I might not necessarily make it to you. I might not agree with it. I might say, I don't think that's an issue, but I want to at least have a chance to judge that for myself and to analyze it. I'll get it all back together at the end, get it from the six or seven readers and put it all together into one mash pot and analyze it that way and decide if it's something I need to do or not.
And thinking about applying those changes into your work and deciding for yourself, okay, this thing is legit or this thing I want to keep, how do you know when you were done with the story for the second book especially? When did you feel, okay, this is it, I can now put it down? Okay, nothing's ever perfect, but as a perfectionist, how do you decide, okay, this chapter, this scene is over?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm even 100% there yet. Obviously, it's still in the beta phase. I wrote the first draft. My process is kind of write the draft, and I just do kind of a quick read through. I don't get too deep into the editing yet. I kind of just do anything that's glaring at me. I'm going to make the changes. But in terms of like development, edits and stuff, I'm not there yet. And then my next read through, that's when I go more in depth, and I do that. And I make the changes. I do a deep editing. And then on my then at that point, I'll just do another just simple read through. And if it feels good enough to me, I'm going to send it off to beta readers. And when I sent off the beta readers, I still had a couple scenes I was questionable of, a couple plot arcs that I was, you know, I have my questions on this, and I make sure I sent a list. I had a list of like 15 things I sent to each beta reader to, you know, can you answer this for me at the end or during the process? I'd appreciate it. And yeah, I mean, some of them I've definitely, there were scenes I was questionable on, and they was, when I got my beta feedback back, it was, so were some of these people, which they let me know, okay, I definitely need to make a little bit of alterations here. And and that's actually like the phase I'm in right now of the story, is trying to change those, clean them up, make it all mesh together perfectly. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm starting now. I'm supposed to get it out to my proofreader in a month. And I think I'll have, you know, it's really only, there's a little bit of nitpicking here and there, and I'll go through all that at the end, but that doesn't take too much time. Just those maybe like two scenes that are kind of pretty heavy that I have to really bunker down on and get right before I get that off to the proofreader.
And thinking about time, as you mentioned, you run a business, you have a family, and how does scheduling work for you? Do you have a strict timeline for your writing? Do you have like a ritual of sorts? What's your process on that?
I mean, I have to put timelines on myself. I'll get it done. It's the whole thing with book two. I think part of why I was able to go so quick and smoothly with it was my business that I run is it's a construction building business, and the economy in my area for new housing isn't the greatest right now. Prices are super high. There's very little. I live like an hour outside of New York City, and they came in waves out of Manhattan during the lockdowns and everything to my area, and it scooped up a lot of land and stuff like that. So definitely on the slow end of things with my business, which is allowing me more time to write. But yeah, I mean, with my process, I just try, when it comes to writing, I'm definitely someone, if I start a chapter, I want to try and get that chapter done whether I'm writing or editing. I feel like it wastes a lot of time for me to write if I'm in the middle of a chapter. Now I got to get back into the middle of that scene, and it almost takes an hour just to do that, just to remember where I want to go and to get the feel for that scene, remember where my characters' heads are at. And so I definitely try to make my process as much as I can, as much as time will allow, write the chapter to completion or edit the chapter to completion. And that's kind of my stopping points as I'm going through, as I very, very hard try to make it to the end of a chapter, not leave off in the middle of something.
I believe that's a challenge, but you're pushing through it. And when you mentioned construction, it's kind of an interesting industry to be paired with writing. I mean, not to be stereotypical, but it's something that's not commonly associated with being a writer. And I saw on your profile as well. Yeah. And I saw in your profile as well that you did some local signings. And how's the community been? I mean, people who you work with, I can imagine some of them know that you're writing, and generally your local area. How's that been for you since you slowly transitioned into being an author?
Yeah, it's so, you know, a lot of the people that I've worked with, they've always known I've been writing for a while. So, you know, I think they were happy to see the book out. But at the same time, so what I do is I manage the construction of new homes. So I'm subbing out work a lot. And so a lot of the subs that I use, I think they're happy to see it. But at the same time, they're like, you know, you were giving us work for a long time. We need more work. And it's not, I completely plan to still do both. I very much enjoy both. It's more an economy thing right now. The prices just don't make sense. I have the luxury of going crazy. That was another part of why I didn't touch my book for 6 years during the lockdowns, during everyone from New York City moving to this area. I was working crazy hour days. I barely saw my kids in the early years. That's just how construction ends of things went. But in terms of the book signing, it's everything, my friends, my family, everyone's been nothing but supportive. It's been amazing. I had that book signing at a local Barnes & Noble, and my friends made me kind of look like a rock star when they first announced my name in the store. There was a big group of them. They're all shouting and cheering, and all of a sudden, this line forms up in front of me. Next thing you know, people see that, and they think, oh, my God, is this an important writer or something? And they next thing I know, the line's filled with, and it wasn't filled. It was like, you know, say it's like 5 to 10 people deep, but still there's a handful of people in there who I don't know, and then they come up and talk to them. And so it went really well. I sold out, but they only bought, I think it was 9 books for me, the store had, but I sold out of them in the first hour, and then I had my own batch that I brought in, and you know, I was just kind of giving them away because I wasn't supposed to sell them in the store, but but still, got eyes on my book, and yeah, it was a huge success. It was really cool. Definitely a dream that you kind of have as someone trying to get into writing. I was glad for it to be my first experience.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear. And thinking about fan interactions and people reacting to your work, I can imagine the online side of things where people have been exposed to it is also interesting to you. And how do you feel about reviews and people contacting you directly about your story? How's that feeling? You know, of course, as we said, everything's subjective, but seeing a lot of people reacting well to it, but also some people who are not quite fans. But how do you deal with that now?
Yeah, that was definitely a little bit of a learning curve. First off, I was just blown away. Back when I first published my book, or right before I first published my book, again, I had no social media following. I wasn't much a part of the writing community, but yet I still had on Instagram, I still had a ton of pretty prominent reviewers on there that were very happy to take my work on. They seemed genuinely interested, and you know, they read my book, and I want to say it was like a dozen of them, and they left me reviews, and you know, I was blown away by that. I was like, wow, you kind of see these people trying to get into the reviewing world, you think they're going to try and gravitate to the more popular books and stuff like that, and mine wasn't, and they didn't, so I thought that was so gracious of them, and had nothing but respect for them. And then in terms of the differing reception, that definitely took a little getting used to. I had a mix right at the start. There were people who seemed to really like it, and then there were people who were kind of like, and you know, you get down on yourself when not many people have read it yet at that point, so I'm thinking, I see them thinking, and I'm like, oh man, maybe it's just not that good, you know, maybe the story isn't for a wide audience, but you learn to just take the good with the bad. I mean, overall, as time has gone on, the majority have been a pretty positive reception. And there have been the bad ones. I've gotten a 1-star rating, no review left or anything, but you know, obviously someone hated it, unless it's just a troll or something. But I had another pretty prominent booktuber, he DNF'd it. He was very kind, you know, emailed me, so it's not a bad, it's a very well-written story, just wasn't connecting with him. And luckily at that point, when that happened, I was a little more attuned to it. I think I kind of matured to the whole getting used to it, and I had gotten a lot of positive reception, so that gave me confidence that, hey, this doesn't mean my story is bad, it just means it wasn't for this person, and that's fine. And you know, I'd say for any writer looking to get into this, that's definitely something to be ready for. Don't be one of those people that goes off on a rant or tangent on social media, because no matter how great the story is, there's going to be people who, some just don't connect with it, some just don't like it, and you do have to be appreciative that they're still giving their time to your story. That's that's gracious of people. They're trying to help you out. I don't think anyone's into this with bad intentions. So you ask, if in the beginning I always had to reach out to people and ask them, will you review my story? You know, you reach out, you ask for honesty, you got to expect honesty back, and you got to appreciate it if that's what you're asking for. And you know, and I'm finally hitting the stage, really, just the last couple of months, where now I'm getting people coming to me saying, hey, I really want to, I just had 2 books I sent out last week, but one was a bookstagrammer, one was a booktuber, who reached out to me and said, oh, your book's really interesting, I'm seeing it floating out there, I'd really like to read it. So that's definitely pretty cool. I'm hoping that's maybe, you know, the rung up the next ladder, maybe a step in the right direction. Because I'm still, you know, I'm not selling books through the roof, but there's definitely been a slow climb, starting to climb. I mean, I know it could drop any day back down, but it's, you know, it seems like I've turned a little bit of a corner. I'm hoping it's the start of a good one. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. Hope so. And thinking about reviews, there was a comment, I can't recall which author, but he said in an interview, like, when he's feeling down and when he's not quite confident in his writing, he searches out some of his favorite authors and their books and sorts 1-star reviews and just reads them for a while and sees that even the people who he looks up to get those, and that makes them feel better.
Yeah. And definitely a big part for me was You know, I've been reading a lot of indie books this past year, and it's been blowing me away how good they are. And but at the same time, I've had some that, you know, are so-so. And but whether I thought it was good, so-so, I'm reading the reviews, and I'm seeing that there's prominent reviewers from the reviewing community in the writing community that they thought books were great that I didn't think was that great, or they thought books weren't that great that I thought was great. So it's just, you just got to really kind of lean into that fact that everything is so subjective. You know, you know, if you write a story, just put it out there, and that's all you can do, and see what happens from there. And you're eventually, over time, going to get a good impression on where most people are leaning with it. So.
Yeah, and thinking about the indie community and everybody in it, and people, of course, there are different people with different opinions, but kind of seeing how well people are reacting to each other's work in a supportive way, and like people connecting, and for me as well, as somebody who's just recently came into the space, seeing how people really do feel that sense of togetherness and just like being there for each other is super great. And there was recently the promotion you did with some other authors as well, the SFF Loot Box. Could you maybe tell us something about that, how that went down?
Yeah, I mean, first off, the writing community is just such an awesome thing. It's a breath of fresh air for me. I told you how I work in that construction business, and you know, I'd be called what's a builder, and I've worked with other builders, and I've dealt with other builders. And when I tell you it's a very cutthroat business, people happy to stab each other in the back, no one's friends, they talk nice to your face, but they'll never F you in the back, behind your back. This has just been such a complete turnaround, such a breath of fresh air to me. It doesn't feel like anyone's my competition, because they're not my competition. Everyone's there to help one another, and that's authors and reviewers alike. It just seems like everyone really wants to just help one another and try and grow and get ahead in this community. It's really a beautiful thing. And yeah, as for that giveaway, it's these books you can see back here. A lot of those are they're still up there from the people who I did that with. And that was just so much fun. I had seen in my early days of being on social media, my early days, it was only a few months ago, but seeing a lot of people doing these promotions and these giveaways, these multi-authors coming together and doing it, and I kept thinking in my head, man, I want to be a part of one of those, how do I do that? And it was actually someone who I consider a good friend now, Sam Paisley, the author of Elements of Time. He reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, it seems like we both just released our debut novels recently, been seeing your book a lot, seems like they're very similar to mine, we've had some of the same reviewers, why don't we come together and do something? And when he came to me with that, I was like, heck yeah. We kind of spitballed the ideas. We laid the foundation for what we wanted to do. And in my head at that point, I was like, you know what? If we're going to do this, I'm going to try and go big. And so I just reached out to like everyone I connected with. And I was expecting, I think I sent like 7 messages. I was expecting maybe like 2 of them to say, yeah, sure. And everyone came back to me and was like, yes, absolutely. I want to be part of this. This sounds awesome. And this is people who, you know, me and Sam, each had like 200 followers at that time. And we still weren't relatively that big of books. And you're talking, you had Andrew Watson from The Fool's Tale, who was just an awesome guy and very generous and gracious. And he was happy to jump on. And Ellen McCray, she's a pretty big time indie author. She wanted to jump on. Amanda Haller, she's got a huge Instagram following. She said like 25,000 followers. She wanted to jump right on, and it was just a really cool experience. We had a group chat that we formed. We all were kind of relaying back and forth information and knowledge to one another, and kind of almost felt like, I don't know if this was for everyone, but for me, it almost felt like we like formed a little family for a couple of weeks. And a lot of them I still talk to almost every day. We're still kind of promoting each other's work, trying to help each other out, and I think from that specifically, that giveaway, I kind of gained a couple of friends that I think I'll be talking to for probably a long time to come. So it was a pretty cool experience.
That's awesome. And for me, when I saw that, it was also an opportunity to discover some other authors. And that was really great, seeing people of different audience sizes, so to speak, just coming together. And like, that's another thing when you mentioned the cutthroat business side from your point of view in your industry. And when you think about authors basically just coming together, not looking at each other as competition, but as somebody who can share the knowledge and grow together. And for me, that's amazing. And I also when I saw the books, I was like, man, this TBR list is going to grow so much. and that is really great. And creating that kind of promotion and building up your social media, as you said, and the newsletter you mentioned at the beginning when we talked about the cover reveal, how's that looking for you? You know, because that's sort of a business on its own, just building kind of a one-man show for the promotions and things like that. Is it something that you're looking to get more into, or you're hoping to tone down as the time goes on and maybe delegate of some of that stuff?
It's definitely something I'm planning to keep going forward with. I'm hoping to grow. I mean, especially after that giveaway we did, I gained a bunch of followers from that, and it's actually a bunch of reviewers even that, bookstagrammers that I'm still talking to now who reached out to me during it, and so it was huge. I think, you know, social media is obviously huge, especially Bookstagram is kind of starting to grow. It's starting to get its footing. I think that's going to be a big thing to come down the road. But you see, I think a lot of the people who have become popular so far, a big part of why they have is because of Twitter and BookTube. I mean, a lot of these authors on there who have been around for a few years, you're talking thousands of followers. And I think a big part of growing that foundation, you're not going to become this huge bestseller just by social media alone. But I think that's what starts off a good foundation to start a platform. And, you know, especially when natural readers do come along and they want to know more about you and follow you, it's great to have, you know, that some sort of following that they can go to and they can see a little bit about you. Nowadays, I don't think it's as much in the old days. People didn't really care too much about the authors, their personal lives, I don't think too much, because kind of people didn't care about others' personal lives that much back then. But nowadays, it's like everyone wants to know kind of everything about one another. And so, you know, I'm happy to share kind of a little bit about myself. And I definitely plan to still do that, I think it'll help people to relate to my story, especially considering my story is one from our world, from our characters. It's tough though. It's almost another full-time job doing it. I don't plan to have the time I've necessarily had so far to be able to focus on that. So I'll do my best with it. And, in a perfect world, if my book ever became big enough, yeah, maybe I could hire someone to delegate some of that work out to. But, that's not today. Today I just stay on the same path I've been, do the best I can with it and try and stay as genuine as I can with it. And hope that'll just lead to, more connections in the future.
For me, it seems that the genuine side of things is something that appeals to people. And when you think about that, which said, people wanting to see the person behind the books or whatever, the music is something that's been on a rise for years now. And for me, what's interesting is also the crowdfunding part or the crowdsourcing part, the huge successes some of the Kickstarters recently had, and people just kind of getting a direct connection to their audience and getting the pulse of what they want. And do you think that's something that you could use in the future? Do you think that's something that's going to be around for a long time now, or it's something that's kind of a stepping stone to something else?
No, I think it'll definitely be around. I mean, it seems like all the ones I see, I mean, obviously I know I've heard of Kickstarters happening and just being complete failures, but I think if a person waits to a certain point to when they have enough, of a fandom, if their book's been read enough, they have enough reviews. I think if they do it at a certain point, I right now it's definitely a recipe for success and for growth. I know there's a couple going right now, and it seems like everyone's hitting their mark that they want to hit funds wise within hours, it seems like, from when they go. So I think it's definitely smart. I, for one, if I get to that point, I wouldn't do it today, because I think if I did it today, it would just be a bust. I don't yet have that huge, huge fan base to help support it. But, hopefully one day, maybe a year from now, I will reach a point where I feel like I do have enough backing behind me that I will be able to do that and put out some awesome, kind of custom content, some awesome covers to, that's definitely, I think, something that's a dream for a lot of us indie authors now. And, something that's growing, and I see nothing but more of that to come in the future, in my opinion.
What would you like seeing done with your work? I can imagine there's a bunch of ideas, but some of the more traditional, let's say, fantasy books have maps, have those things. What would you like seeing in the future for your series?
I don't know about a map with mine, just because, I mean, maybe if in a future book there's like a in some crazy half the books this battle scene, and I do like when they add that into fantasy books, they'll show you the map of the area so you can fully understand the battle itself. That I could see, but otherwise, you know, mine's like all space and planets. I know like Pierce Brown has the maps in his The Red Rising books, but I don't think that really brings too much to the table in that regard, so I don't know if I necessarily care too much about that, but I would definitely like to do like a special edition hardcover or something like that. Is definitely a dream. That would be awesome. And I think there's some scenes in my book that would be really cool to throw on to a special cover. I love my cover. I worked hard on both my covers. That, you know, it's definitely a very generic cover. I worked with the finances I had. I think it hits the mark. It's pulling the people in. Obviously, as I said, I got those books to be in Missouri well, and I didn't have much of a following. I think it's because my cover and my blurb kind of meshed well to the people liked it. But it would be really cool to see like one of my actual scenes from my novel on like a book cover and a custom edition. That would be pretty awesome. And then just if I ever had like a fan base, see fan artwork, I think that's so cool. That would be definitely a dream to see some fans drawing up some scenes and stuff like that from the story.
Yeah, and I think that your story lends itself well to that, so I'm sure we'll see it at some point. And thinking a bit maybe more further, what kind of adaptation would you envision for the Forsaken Planet and the Power of the Star series? Do you see it kind of maybe more of a movie thing or maybe a game thing? What would you like to see in the future for the series?
I mean, ideally both. That'd be pretty cool. But no, I think I've always envisioned it more as either a movie or a series. I don't think I would necessarily be against one or the other. I would, you know, this is obviously thoughts that you don't know how you'd react until someone's knocking on your door and saying, we want to make this into something. But, you know, ideally I look at it now and I'd be like, I would definitely need to have some sort of input on, you know, who's the director, who's doing what I've seen. So Wheel of Time is by far my favorite series. I'm just not a big fan of the show. I can't really stand it. And so it would be, as much as it's a dream to see your work on screen, it would be a horror to me to see it botched fully. So again, I never know how I would react in that situation, but I'd love to see it as either a series or a movie. That would just be so surreal and so cool. And a lot of people have come to me and said after reading it, they feel it's very, the prose and everything is very cinematic and it's the way it's told. So some of my early readers said to me that I could envision this being a movie. I feel like I'm seeing all these scenes perfectly. This would be like a perfect movie or series one day. So that would be, that's a hope, but I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself there.
Yeah, of course, but just thinking about it, because it is quite cinematic, so, I mean, it's not bad just staying a book series. We love books, but just thinking about the format, and when you mentioned the Wheel of Time series, and we recently also had the Rings of Power, and both kind of flopped with the, let's say, core audience, even though I'm not sure the ratings-wise, the budgets-wise, but kind of just listening to people who enjoy the works they are based on. What do you think went wrong there? Because I share the same opinion as you of the Wheel of Time, and it's unfortunate. I mean, it doesn't seem that they didn't want to like give it the attention it deserves, but something's not clicking. What do you think it is?
Oh, it's so hard to say. I mean, when it comes to Wheel of Time, I just felt like there's so many times they're trying to get this like shock factor out to you, and they do it in a way that just takes away all the depth of the story, all the depth of the characters. They want you to be like, oh, wow. But it doesn't work when you're not kind of invested into those characters. I mean, the main Bran, the Dragon Reborn, he is the main character of this story, and they've made him a secondary character on the show. I don't really know why they're thinking to do that. I don't know why they're doing it, but it's just, and even not to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but like the finale of the second season, that's a big, important fight scene between him, you know, and the Shamar at the end, and it's just, they didn't even make it him fighting him. They made it someone else fighting him. I don't see in any reality where any writer could possibly have thought that would have been good. I really can't even begin to start with what they're thinking, because it's just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. So it's kind of again, as I mentioned, the Rings of Power, I had the same feeling. It's kind of maybe not understanding the source material enough, or just like not understanding what hit with some of the previous things that they did work. So it's a shame seeing that, but at least I'm glad that's happening, and I'm hoping we'll see some of the more new series, because you know, as we talked about your work and the mix of genres and things moving forward, different trends, different things being nominated for awards, and on the other hand you have the adaptations of the same series, same heroes, same stuff for just over and over again, and I'm hoping that we're seeing just kind of a peak of that, and maybe we'll veer off into more original stuff, because there is a lot of there out there. So
no, for sure. I think part of the problem is I think they're trying to take these timeless stories and kind of modernize them in ways for our time now. And you know, sometimes when a story is timeless and appreciated and valued for 100 years, there's a reason. It's because of the story itself. So just stick with that story. Don't try and change it. Don't try to alter it to your mindset or your opinions of the story, of where it could have possibly went better. Just give the people that story. It's really that simple sometimes, and they will absolutely love it. So you know, I hope it's, I think it's trying a lot of writers nowadays in Hollywood and stuff, they're trying to find that balance of kind of making modern people who lean towards that landing everything to fit nowadays. You got to find that right balance of keeping to the timeless sake of the story and doing that, but not having that override what everyone loves about the story. So
yeah, for sure. And
a hot take, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but it makes sense. And thinking about the other stuff, like we mentioned Harry Potter, we've mentioned now the Wheel of Time and some other things that are kind of now a bit older. And even the people who love this stuff, they didn't maybe reread it recently. And it's something that's kind of its time. And when we talked about info dumping, so to say, and when you read some of the earlier fantasy fiction, sci-fi, whatever, there are things there that modern editors would probably say this isn't nearly ready for publishing, but you know, people resonated well with it, so it's kind of a different thing.
Oh, for sure.
Before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you, what do you envision as a next step for Power of the Stars? Of course, you've just announced the cover for your second book, and how do you see it picking up from here?
Yeah, so the second book right now, if everything stays on schedule, I'm leaning towards an April release. I'm not sure exactly when. I'm hoping once I'm through my beta process, once it's out to my proofreader, I think I better be able to lock a date in. Then sometime in January, I'll probably be locking a date in April, but that's subject to change, but that's where everything's leaning right now. And then after that, it really depends on how my business schedule goes, if things pick up with that a little bit. But I'm leaning towards my next step in writing to be a novella that kind of transitions between book two and book three. I've never personally been that big into writing novellas, but they seem to be very popular nowadays, and actually kind of something I already have planned for book three. I just think it'll make a lot more sense if I kind of give a little backstory to it in between the two books. So otherwise it might seem a little random in book three. It's kind of a really cool idea I had planned for a story. So, you know, I like the idea of getting that out there, getting into a little more. It's I think it's good nowadays, especially with our indie work, to have something that's kind of short. My book is obviously chunky. My second book is a little less, but it's still pretty big. It's going to be around 140,000 words. So, you know, get something a little shorter out there that people could sample. They don't have to have read the work previously, and then they can get a feel for my work. And I think that's big nowadays, to have something like that, to let people get a small sample, see how I craft a story from start to beginning in small increments, and to know if my work is something they want to invest more heavily in. So that's definitely my next phase. And then after that, it'll be writing book three. I, much of it's already planned out, if not all of it. I'm even have a lot planned in the book four. I see the series being at least 5 books. I don't want it to be a series that's 10 books deep. It'll probably be 5 to 7. If I have it my way, I'll write it in 5, but I don't know if I'll have it done at that point. But you know, so that's kind of working on all that is where I'm at this stage.
Well, sounds good. I'm looking forward to the second book. Thank you, Brian, for the great chat and for being so open. I wish you all the success with The Forsaken Planet and the Power of the Star series, and we'll be following your work for sure.
Thanks so much, Marco. Thank you for asking me on. It's a pleasure being here. This was a blast. Thanks.
For sure. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Storyline Sessions. I hope you've enjoyed our talk. You can find the link to The Forsaken Planet as well as Brian's social media below. If you're interested in storytelling and creative writing in any kind of media, keep following the Storyline Sessions, both here and on Instagram. My name is Marko Bogdanović, and I'll see you next time. Keep creating stories!